Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Unpack your knives and stay. Yes, stay. Welcome, everybody, to another slash final episode of this season, of course, of the Top Chef Wrap Up. I am Haley Strong. I am here today with Kurt Clark. Kurt, welcome back.
Thank you. And in honor of our final podcast about the series during the season, I am drinking some premium crafted Canadian maple syrup soda.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. Is it like a Quebec maple syrup?
It's made in the USA. That's nice. Hilarious.
Nice. Coke does have a like a maple syrup one they saw in the glass bottles here. There's also this other brand that's like a Quebec brand. Oh gosh, what is it even called? Give me one second. Cola maple syrup.
Yeah, I think this, it is pure cane sugar. It'd be nice if it was pure maple syrup. But yeah, at the downtown market, which has a bunch of little boutique shops, there's a soda pop shop. And I get like a six pack of random one offs, like a chocolate soda. I have a peanut butter jelly soda. I had a horchata soda. And I thought of you when I saw the Canadian maple syrup soda, and I thought I would just drink this on our broadcast.
It sounds delicious. Underreported. I love pop. I drink at least one Coke a day, and I love it very much. Please don't judge me. I know it's not great for me, but I have so few other vices in my life. Please just let me have this one.
One, I doubt that that's true. Two, you call it pop, so all is forgiven, and because that is the correct term for it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say soda and like sound like I was faking it, you know?
Yeah.
Soda. It doesn't even sound real coming from my mouth, eh? Soda.
The comment about I doubt that's true is about that soda is sorry. Oh gosh.
Pop, oh, that I have other vices.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to.
I mean, maybe. I do have a lot of wine in my basement.
I was going to say wine was probably been the first thing I mentioned.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to be judged for that either. I do work in the wine industry, and it is, you know, one of the perks of the job is that you end up with your own cellar and your weird, crappy basement.
Nothing wrong with that. As somebody who regularly indulges in his own vices, food, escape rooms, staying inside, you know,
I feel like I told somebody recently about your bacon toaster too. Maybe it was Ethan. That I was like, yeah,
oh, the bacon toaster.
Kurt has a bacon toaster.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is that on April 1st, I signed up for the Bacon of the Month Club.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hit me until last week that I only got like the April shipment. And I wrote them,
and
they were like, oh yeah, you fell out of our system. So we'll re-up your, we'll ship the next, your second one on Monday. I'm like, okay, no, not a problem. But I think I should get at least a free packet of bacon out of that.
Yeah, and it seems weird that yours just like fell out of the system. What, did you like not update your credit card in time, or just like?
No, they said it just fell out of their system.
Like, that's so weird, because usually I forget to cancel things like that, and they just show up at my door, and I go, oh, my bad.
Yeah, this is one of the ones where you have to actively renew it. It doesn't auto-renew either, so.
Weird.
But
I mean, good for in some instances. Yeah. Not fantastic in all instances.
Yeah, so. We'll be getting some bacon this week, it looks like. And so bacon, I got my Canadian maple syrup soda, and we've got the finale.
You're the finale. I have one question and one comment. How long was the episode for you?
The episode was an hour 15.
Okay, interesting. Because Ethan just started the regular one on our DVR instead of going to the Hey You app and watching like the long one. So I felt like a little whelmed by the finale, not by like the food or anything. It just all felt pretty rushed. And I think maybe it's because I watched an hour long version, not an hour 15 version.
But there wasn't a lot for them to do.
I feel like usually finales feel bigger or like feel more. I just didn't feel like I feel like we even rushed through like the dinner pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did. Like, maybe I'm wrong about it being an hour 15. I thought it was, but I whelmed is a good way to phrase it.
As much because I loved this season so much, and I just thought the finale was fine. And I thought the meals that all three contestants presented were fantastic and super interesting. I just felt like the episode itself was just a little like, eh. And maybe it's because I watched it last night after like a super long week, so I was a little tired. I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I think the only thing that I took away from the finale was like after the first course, I was like, oh, Buddha won.
Right. And yes, I did accidentally spoil myself before watching the episode last night that Buddha had won. But also watching the episode, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter that I was spoiled, because it felt very like, here we go. And not in like a bad way. It was not a bad thing. It's just, I think.
No, not at all. He just was the third of the people I was rooting for. And by underreported again, you came into the finale with all three of your people in the finale. So
yeah,
we kind of knew that you were going to win going into this.
Yeah. And I think I used up all of my draft luck for a while. I'm sure when The Bachelor comes back, I will absolutely be demolished in that draft.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad I'm not alone in thinking that. Like, I was a little like, what? Was it me? But, okay, interesting.
And it was really like, for the finale of Top Chef Houston, they go to a completely different state. And I know they've done it before, but it just
Tucson.
Like...
Tucson. Have we gotten your opinion on Tucson yet?
Oh,
yeah. You told us you have stayed in Tucson.
Yes, I stayed in Tucson when moving back from Los Angeles to the Midwest, and I visited, there's like a little, I don't know if it's like a soundstage that they also use as like a tourist trap called Old Tucson, where it's like gimmicky Old West town sort of thing. We like visited that like the summer between third and fourth grade. So we did like a drive around the U.S. for a summer vacation, and yeah.
That was always my dream.
That's all I know.
Vacation. I always wanted to do like a drive around the U.S. or Canada, but we always just went to wherever my brother's baseball tournaments were. Road trips. It was, you know, I got to go to a lot of weird cities in Ontario and along the Eastern Seaboard. So, you know, not everybody gets to revel in the beauties of Asheboro, North Carolina for a summer, you know?
That'll be what we do. Although, I assume that you've seen the rumors. Did we talk about it on the show? The rumors about the next season?
About the international season? Yeah. I think we chatted about it a bit, but did you see anything else about where? No?
No, it's probably going to be Canada.
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's going to be a Euro destination. I feel like maybe it was you who had me convinced they were going to Europe or something. I don't know. I feel like Canada's too obvious, but, you know, I would be thrilled.
No, that if they can pull that off, it'll be nice. It's like we're already ready to talk about next season.
I know, which makes me sad because I loved this season so much. So let's pop into this one. You know, we get the challenge, cook the best meal of your life. And I thought this was kind of cool. I think it's to stick with COVID protocols. Once you're out of the bubble, you're out of the bubble. But each person got to select who they wanted as their sous chef to cook instead of doing like the knife draw and getting to pick. And they just flew that one person in when they originally said, oh, we've flown in like your sous chef. And I was like, oh, you get to just pick anyone in your life. Like, I'm picking Eric Rapera as my sous chef, please and thank you. No, it was former contestants from this season. In a shock to nobody, Buddha picked Jackson. I thought that was a fun buddy cop pick for him. Evelyn chose Joe. That was fun to see. And Sarah chose Robert, which I was a little surprised about. It makes sense because they were like the besties at the beginning of the season. But girl, you and Robert went out together. Like, is that what you want here?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How did you feel about the way they selected the sous chefs?
First of all, I was like, what the hell? Why are you picking the guy who has no taste buds?
Good point. But then Padman was like, can you taste now? He's like, 75%.
Yeah, it was still, we saw a lot of early people.
Yeah, which was a surprise, nice. But cool.
It was very like, cool. I did have to look up Robert's name.
Sorry, Robert, I love you. I called him that guy she got eliminated with.
Yeah. And so it was good to see him again, got a little bit more of him. It was good to see Joe again. And I love Jackson, but I was just like, why are you picking him?
Just maybe he has like the actual technical skill like Buddha needed. He could just say, I can taste it. It's not a problem. Just you go for it. Hey, to be fair, Jackson was not running a dining room. So why not?
It's fair. I did like, you know, we sent them all home. You're just going to give them a call at home and then we'll fly them in. It's like, you know what? Let's keep that simple, you know?
Yeah. Why not? Why not, eh? Yeah. So Yep, they have to make a 4-course dinner. That is it. They do some prep. They go to some grocery stores. And then the finalists get invited to a nice ranch dinner prepared by all the judges. And many outfits this episode. All worked for me. Absolutely worked for me.
And I forgot that this has tended to be more and more of a thing in this latter seasons, where it's like, yo, you've been cooking for us, we'll cook for you. That just seems like it would be a joy to be a part of.
Oh my God, yes. Absolutely. I want to eat all of their food. Do you think Padma ever feels slightly intimidated that she's cooking with all the other people? Or do you think now she's a chef enough in her own right that it's chill?
I was actually wondering that myself. And I think that she's like, it's not like you are as a chef in a restaurant and you have to handle, like, she's just cooking like she likes to cook, you know? And I think, which is appropriate for this area, for this specific setting. Like, so I don't think the fact that she doesn't have the chef title per se is a hindrance here. I mean, neither does Gail, right? So
I guess not.
And they were just kicking it around and having a good time. And
I thought it was fun. And then we go right into the next day. So each of these three chefs, I thought, had a pretty cool vision for their dinner. Evelyn's was very much like reminiscent of what she ate as a childhood, kind of like, you know, an ode to her childhood. Buddha's was very much family focused, you know, featuring dishes dedicated to his mom, dad, and brother. And then New York, and not his wife, but okay.
And very Twill forward.
Yes.
Lots of Twill forward dishes.
If I'm his wife, I'm pissed. I didn't even get like an honorable mention for a dish. Like what? Not even like an amuse bouche or anything? Like, come on.
Didn't he get like the engagement pasta dish? Like back?
Yeah, sure. But I mean, that was weeks ago. What about this one?
What did you do for me
every
today?
Every time, Buddha? I want a dish dedicated to me every time.
And Sarah's was like, use the whole food.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Yeah. I thought that was a really interesting concept. What would you prefer? Yeah. One dinner to be served like in a whole, or to have the three dishes like easily compared to each other?
In terms of if I was sitting at the table, or in terms of how we're going to talk about it?
No. Like if you're sitting at the table, what would... And I think watching
if they came to me and said, Kurt, you're going to be a guest judge in this episode, but we want your feedback on should we eat all of Evelyn's dishes or should we eat all of the first courses? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It would be great if they could somehow do it so that they're staggered in time and you can get, if it was supposed to be a 4-course progressive meal, mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen all of Evelyn's dishes, then all of Buddha's dishes, then all of Sarah's dishes. The only downside to that is you're going to be so full by the time you get to Sarah.
I guess so. And I think part of it is like, as a viewer, it's nice to see how they compare just because
it's true.
You know what I mean? Because then I have a better understanding of how they compare.
And this way, they basically had 4 services versus the other way would have had to have been 12 services.
Yeah. Like, and that's individual just a courses. Long day.
Yeah.
I don't know, because it's such like a progressive focus. I would love to see like the vision be complete in a more comprehensive way, I guess, for me. Like, it feels broken when it's like, okay, here's all of our dishes. Okay, here we are again. I don't know. I see the benefits of both styles. So
yeah, I think because when they kicked off, I was like, oh, they're going to be like, how can you, like, if you just wrapped up Sarah's second course, how are you going to then follow up by eating Evelyn's third course next? You know, but they're all out there. They can talk about them. I did like the being able to like, okay, they walk away to get their second course ready.
They run away.
Buddha ran.
Buddha ran. I would not be running. I'd probably be accidentally puked.
And then while they're getting the second course ready, they discuss the first course, and you get to hear kind of the head-to-head comparison. So I guess this way was probably the most ideal given the circumstances.
Yeah, I also think it kind of played into me feeling like everything was a little rushed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think we should talk about each menu in its entirety.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let's start with Evelyn's. Her first course was a scallop crudo with prickly pear and citrus broth, sweet potato and crispy quinoa. I love when that first dish is like super light and like, I just like almost like sweetish, like light and airy and not super heavy. Like, I don't want to start a meal off super heavy, especially when I have to eat 12 courses.
Underreported, Kurt may have bought a fifth of prickly pear vodka over the weekend.
Oh, look at you.
The holiday weekend, Memorial Day weekend. This sounded pretty good.
But you're out on the scallops, like you're not super seafood, or what? You're looking for something?
I like scallops. Actually, like scallops and it's fish I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not sure how the scallops and the sweet potatoes would go together. I'll try it, but this isn't what I necessarily would have chosen of the first.
Should we actually just do like the courses, like Evelyn, Buddha, and Sarah, just so we can compare kind of?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so then Buddha made a hamachi with sauce vinjom, caviar, and apple, sweet potato, bees, and then Sarah made a venison and beef heart tartare with sourdough, miso, and smoked butter. So which of the three are you picking?
I would have gone for the... It would have been a hard choice between Buddha and Sarah, but I know I just said that I can't see sweet potatoes going well with scallops. I don't know if I can see sweet potatoes going with hamachi.
But it's just the bees. Like, I think it's more of like a cracker, like a little sweet potato cracker.
But I'm a big fan of tartare. I think I would have gone for Sarah's.
Yeah. See, I think I have to go with Evelyn's in a perfect world in which I'm not allergic to scallops. Like, that is like a perfect, like light brothy kind of dish that I'm looking for. I wish Buddha's was a little prettier, I guess. I don't know. I thought it felt a little disjointed.
It got the job done for him.
He got the check at the end of the day. I think this was this the dish that was dedicated to his brother?
I think it may have been.
Yeah. I loved Buddha's, like continuation with the little like tweels throughout the service.
I'm really intrigued by the combination of like the caviar, apple, and sweet potato bees. So that I would have like, I guess you're probably rude to like just pick, like it's not like picking French fries off of somebody's plate next to you. Like, I'm going to just pick your caviar. But that combination did intrigue me, but the venison and beef heart tartare, there's something about that that has me intrigued.
See, I'm out. I don't love a tartare.
That's fine.
I do, however, love bread. So I would very much love the bread and smoked butter.
Yeah, this I was really intrigued by a lot of things in her menu. And it's just like whatever you have in the first course, you'll probably be seeing remnants of it in the upcoming courses. So.
Yeah, that's true. In the second course, Evelyn made crystal dumplings with shrimp and corn broth, hoja santa oil, and crispy garlic. This was just gorgeous.
That looked amazing.
I think this was the dish. I wish she served it in either like a flatter bowl or a lighter bowl. Like
a lot of it was below the surface?
And it was a very dark bowl, and I felt like it didn't highlight how beautiful and clear her dumplings were.
We don't often talk about how things were served. I mean, there was like the whole fill up in the plank of wood situation. Yeah. But other than that, we haven't. That's a good call.
Because usually I feel very like pleased with their plating choices. But this was one that it weirdly stuck out to me that the bowl was just too dark. Mm-hmm. I just felt like it didn't. You couldn't really see how, like, I love in dishes like this when you have like a flattish white bowl. Sorry. And you can like see the colors of the oil on the broth, and you can see like the vegetables or like whatever you're using, like really pop off the plate. And I just don't think this bowl did it any justice. Mm-hmm. Buddha made a Penang laksa with cannelloni, lobster, king crab, and carrot butterfly tuil. I love a laksa. I think last week I said that tom yum was like up in my top soups. Laksa is also there. And you know, I love a lobster and crab, and then you can F me up with a carrot butterfly tuil too.
You know, again, it was here. It was like the cannelloni, lobster, king crab, and carrot butterfly tuil sounded tasty to me. I was like, I could be in or out in the laksa. We'll see.
I just love like the like thick, creamy soup like that. Just like really flavorful. I love soup, man. Like soup is just like such a perfect food.
I need to remember that for when we get to our what did you eat this week?
Ooh, did you eat a soup?
We'll see.
And then Sarah made squash dumpling with corn husk broth, miso, hiracoche puree, and three sisters salad.
I like Tom's comments. Like, I think the three sisters brought a couple cousins with them. Like, there was a lot going on in this one. And this was also where, didn't Robert make the squash dumpling, like the dumpling, and it was like a little thick?
It was a little thick. And yeah. I feel, okay, so I think Sarah's order is a little interesting here. And I think part of it is, I think this makes sense as a second course, because so often you have a pasta as like a secondi in like traditional Italian eating. Mm. But I feel like having a veg based dish come after like such a wild meat dish is like weird pacing for me.
Yeah. The other thing is like you would have swapped the first two courses.
So what I think would have made more sense is have like, not have dumplings in the first one, do something else, and then have like a venison and beef heart dumpling in the second one and make like that your pasta.
Okay.
And like do something slightly different in the first one. I don't know what that is because I'm not a professional chef.
So moving the heavier dumpling to the second, the heavier proteins to the second.
Yeah, course. I think so. Like kind of combining your pasta course with that interesting protein and doing something just a little different and lighter. Just like tartare on its own seems like heavy to me, and then a venison and beef heart tartare just seems really like to pack a punch, and then we're almost kind of backstepping a little bit to go into like mm-hmm. this veg based dish.
So which of these three then was like, was it the laksa that was most?
Yes, absolutely. Buddha's course is what I would be ordering for. See, sure,
I would have gone for Evelyn's. I love dumplings. But then there's more going on in her dumpling than Sarah's dumpling that was mm-hmm. drawing me in. So the shrimp, the corn, the oil, the crispy garlic, especially the crispy garlic, like just injected into my veins, that crispy yeah. garlic.
Oh my God. Yes, please. and then in our third course, we have Evelyn with her braised goat with curry mole, nopales, and spiced squash seeds. Buddha had the Mongolian lamb with eggplant puree, asparagus, miso, roasted eggplant, squash blossom, and eggplant tuil leaves. Mm,
squash blossom was my college nickname.
And then Sarah made a rabbit ballantine with apricot, chestnut, and herb salad. I thought, okay, so I think Evelyn's dish could have been prettier.
Right. And that was, and then we also had Stephanie at the table. You know, she's got the Girl and the Goat restaurants in mm-hmm. Chicago. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's like, I think Stephanie has said, well, the goat could have been a little bit better, but.
Yeah. So they thought it was cooked really well. They just yeah. felt that that Evelyn didn't take the opportunity to really infuse her goat with the flavor of the curry. They think it should have been cooked in the curry itself. And Evelyn came back with, well, you know, I didn't want the goat to get too soft or whatever. But I think they're right. Like, I think you want to not just coat the goat in the sauce afterwards, right? But
give me the soggy goat, please. Soggy goat all day.
Curry mole. That just sounds unbelievable, right?
I love underreported. It's like there's like a different like condiment or sauce from every type of cuisine that is like Kurt's favorite for Mexican cooking. Mole sauce. Give me mole sauce all day. I love a mole.
Ethan's a big mole guy too. He was very into this.
That's why it would have been tough for me to choose like mole, because it's especially in West Michigan. Like when I was living in Chicago and LA, it was pretty easy to come across, you know, good mole dishes. Not so much in West Michigan. It doesn't not we're just even coming across a mole dish. Yeah. And so it would have been really hard for me to turn down the curry mole. But on the other hand, I love a good Mongolian fill in the blank with your protein. I love Mongolian beef. I love Mongolian pork. I've never had Mongolian lamb.
And this was just gorgeous. Like the sauce itself looks so deep and rich. Like I just wanted that as a soup, if I'm being perfectly honest with everyone. I just want it as a soup. I'm out on asparagus. And honestly, none of these three proteins I'm like dying
That's
for.
True. Was there some like added element of the challenge? It was like, and your third course
no beef,
must be
my friends.
With,
yeah.
Must be with an unconventional protein. Goat, lamb, and rabbit. Yeah. Q2 of 2022 is when I have also kind of fallen into exploration of eggplant in terms of I had some great baba ganoush and I was like,
oh my God, I love baba ganoush. Yeah.
This is amazing. And so between the Mongolian lamb mm-hmm. and the eggplant versus just the presence of mole and the spiced squash seeds sound good too. I don't know if I would go with Evelyn's or Buddha's here.
I think I go with Buddha's.
I think I have to. Two, only because my first course was Sarah, my second course was Evelyn.
And you want to have it rounded? Yeah, like I don't know if I'm picking Sarah's dish for any of my picks, honestly. Like I'm really proud of Sarah and I think she did exactly what she wanted to do. I just felt like each dish either was just not up my alley or had an obvious issue. You know what? Mostly it was just like not up my alley. I would have tried the rabbit. I would not have. The rabbit Ballantine was just not appetizing to me at all. I also just have never seen a Ballantine that I'm into. And I feel like...
Same feel girl. Like,
I feel like people should stop making Ballantine on Top Chef. When has there ever been a successful one? It's like risotto. You just don't make it. You don't see Buddha, Top Chef super fan, making a Ballantine.
It's the...
The tall guy.
The tureen. You know?
A Ballantine or a tureen. Just, I'm out. I just don't love the idea of either of them, honestly. They're not for me.
It's fine.
That's, you know what? To each their own. If you love a Ballantine, I'd love to hear why. And, you know. But I would love an apricot chestnut and herb salad. That sounds delicious.
That's like, there's a lot of these where it's like the headliner of the dish, the headliner of the course. I'm like, eh. And then the also starring apricot chestnut and herb salad. Like, oh. Tell me more. I would have bought tickets to that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's actually a common theme through many of these dishes.
Yeah. We also forgot to mention another through line of Sarah's menu was using miso in every course. And I feel like as much as I love the sentiment and that she's like wanting to, you know, highlight her friend's product, I feel like you should either do nose to tail cooking as your menu or miso cooking as your menu. I feel like doing both ran her into some problems because she was trying to do so much, which like I get because it's your Top Chef finale meal. You want to throw everything at the wall. But you almost have to edit yourself down and be like, okay, what is the menu that I want to do?
Yeah, it could come off as, well, I couldn't decide, so why mm-hmm. decide? And yeah. I don't think that was it. But that's kind of how it could have been read.
I'm going with Buddha's dish.
So am I. I think I'm where I am too.
And then for the dessert course or the fourth course, everyone made dessert. I love that they did. It drives me nuts and I don't know why in a Top Chef finale meal when people don't make desserts.
I would have just been like, fourth course, can I get you a coffee? That's it. Fourth course is a cup of coffee.
Even like a cheese plate. Like, I'm fine with a cheese plate, but just like, I don't know. I don't know.
Let's say a little traditional. Fourth course, make it a dessert.
I like a sweet, you know? And honestly, it seemed like the desserts were the stars of everyone's menu, which was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Evelyn made a buñuelo with quijita, panna cotta, cardamom cream, pitaya, and persimmon. I feel like we've seen the buñuelo.
Was it in the doppelganger challenge where they...
Yeah, I think so.
Because I remember her like trying to bang a crispy snowflake out of a mold. And I think in the one where they had to make the copycats of the dishes, I'm seeing if I can quickly go back. And I think it might have been the one of the episodes where I wasn't here and did not take notes on it in our sheet.
My bad. I take bad notes and never put them in the sheet.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought we'd seen that before.
Which is fine, and it's what she wanted to do, but she did something like slightly different with it. Panna cotta was a little too firm. I think they were just grasping at straws by this point, like to really kind of, even out the dessert, because they were pretty even desserts, honestly. Right. It sounds delicious. I'm not going to sneeze at any of these.
Good.
Buddha made a pumpkin pie mille feuilles with pumpkin custard, cream chantilly, maple caramel, and pumpkin spice cake and pumpkin leaves. I thought this was just absolutely stunning. I wish he had like four less of the twill leaves on it, because I felt like he like made it so beautiful and then he hit it all.
Well, it's like you had to like jump into the leaf pile with your spoon.
I guess, but I think it was just a little busy. Usually I feel like Buddha just absolutely nails the presentation.
And they were maple leaves too, weren't they? Or were they a mix? I remember some were maple leaves.
I think they were all maple leaves.
And that's a nice also visual tie-in, because like even though they were pumpkin maple leaves,
like
the maple caramel also, like it all kind of tied together. This is the one I would have ordered, but I would have been very curious to try Sarah's.
I hopefully wouldn't have been dining alone, and I'd be like, I get this one, you get this one, and we can try both.
Yeah. Can you just bring a bunch of spoons, please?
Yeah. One spoon for everyone. And Sarah made an acorn cake with buttermilk ice cream, calypso bean, miso caramel. Yeah. Like you said, I'm really stuck between Buddha and Sarah's desserts. I love the idea of like a deconstructed pumpkin pie. And I bet that pumpkin pie mix is a little less like heavy. Like sometimes that's my issue with pumpkin pie. It's so dense. Like I love a like light, fluffy dessert. And I guess his pumpkin cake, there was too much of it, or it was a little dry or something. And then Sarah's cake was apparently just absolutely gorgeous. Buttermilk ice cream. Like, hello.
I think Eric Repair wasn't saying that. Like, I would never have tried acorns. but he liked the acorn cake.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm really just really curious about that in terms of how that would taste.
Me too. Like, is it like warm and nutty? Or was it like an acorn squash? Like it was straight up acorn. Mm.
It was straight up acorn.
Interesting. Yeah. I just assumed it was squash until you said just like acorn. But
well, because I think it would have said like, I think it would have said acorn squash.
Yeah, before, you're right. Right. I projected that. And now I want to make an acorn squash cake. Like you can make a pumpkin cake, right? So I want to make an acorn squash cake. I'm going to try it. Not until fall, but I'll try it.
And even the caramel from her dish just sounded good too. Just saying.
Yeah. All of this sounded good. They were all beautiful menus. If you are picking one menu to have start to finish, what are you choosing?
Just FYI, you can apparently, I'm just looking up acorn cakes. They're made with acorn flour, which is a thing.
Oh, cool.
I would probably go with, for me, it would be between Buddha and Sarah. If I'm looking at them, I would, you know what? I probably would have gotten Sarah's.
Just because it's a little more out of left field kind of thing?
A little more out of left field. There's elements in each that I know I'll like. Whereas like the first two of Buddha's, it's almost like right off the bat, there's something from Sarah, the tartar that I'd be interested in. And then like, I like squash. I would be intrigued by the rabbit Ballantine. I'd be intrigued by the whole dessert. So I think between, and there's just a lot to read for Buddhists. So I'd be like, there's just so much here.
You're like headlines. Here I am. Thank you, Sarah. Come on.
So
girl.
I think I would have, I think there was enough of interest to me in each of Sarah's dishes that I would have probably gone with that, the four courses. How about you?
I think I'm going with Buddha's. I'm very much like not that interested in his first course, but the last three I'm like very into. My second choice would be Evelyn's, right, and then Sarah's, but I thought his was pretty impressive. And it was obviously impressed the judges because he won, and it felt like a little anticlimactic, did it not?
It did. And did you notice that judges table that you had like the three sous chefs off to the side and Damar just randomly standing there?
Damar was there? Oh my God, I did not notice. I did not see Damar.
I had to rewind. I was like, wait, there were four people standing off to the side, but there were only three sous chefs. So it was like the three sous chefs and Damar.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Well, it's probably because he got eliminated in Tucson.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it just seems so wild, but all right.
Or wait, was his elimination in Tucson? Did they go to? Okay, yeah, I can't remember if they went.
Yeah, it was last episode, right?
Yeah, I think so. I couldn't because I didn't podcast on that one. Yeah, Nick was the last eliminated in Texas. Then they packed their bags, went to Tucson, did the elimination. Okay. Yeah, it was a little. It was just weird.
For a season that felt so like beautiful and like big and bold, this like just kind of felt like a little bit of a whimper of a finale.
It did. And I'm thinking it's like, we just had so many good people. We had like three great people at the end. Mm-hmm. We had so many good people leave, but I think it's like maybe what was fueling my enjoyment of the season was the range of people. And maybe when it just got down to three, it was just like, well, it's a little harder to tell. It's less of a company of players. It's less of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. I know what it is. It's there. It's like it's less about like this.
Like you wanted an ensemble. Like it was about.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for. An ensemble cast. Yeah. It was like I loved the ensemble cast of Top Chef. It's just that when we got down to the last few episodes, you don't really have an ensemble. You have a few star players. Mm-hmm. And I liked the ensemble. I mean, the star players are stars, but
yeah.
I don't know, maybe that was it. But the, it was good. The reveal and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. It just feels like it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. And I was kind of just wondering if it was just me, but not that I'm glad that you also kind of felt the same way, but like, I'm glad it wasn't just me, you know?
Yeah, I just can't put words to it. So I'm not going to try. No, it was a great outcome. He wasn't the one I was rooting for, but you know, he did great. And like I said, after the first course, I was like, I just think Buddha's got this now.
Yeah. And I said it last week, but I would have been satisfied with any of these three winning, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, We got to the end.
We did. And, you know, congrats to Buddha. We're thrilled for you.
Yes.
And what's coming? What do you think is coming next season? What's your best guess? What do you feel like is going to happen there?
If I'm going to draft off of the news of international locations, I would love to see something along the lines of like Top Chef European Vacation.
I think that's what we're I think you've convinced me on that. Like
I would love that trip. Like or even like spend two episodes, like pick like five or six countries.
Like we did Top Chef California and we went to different regions in California. Like I think I could easily do that.
Pick five to six nations, spend a couple episodes in each nation. Like this was a 14 episode season. pick five nations. You could spend like three, you could spend three, 2 to 3 episodes in each country. Mm-hmm. So that would be fun. I'd enjoy that because if you could get some very specific themes.
Yeah.
And then you don't get Chef Jim Smith going to Luxembourg and checking out the Whole Foods layout in Luxembourg.
I bet Jim would, though.
He would. He probably would.
Yeah. I'm excited for what we have on the horizon. I think the shift and focus that we've gone in the last few years of really fighting for inclusive seasons has really done an absolute wonder for the show and has breathed new life into it. And I find that we're getting to see some really beautiful and interesting stories. Like, you know, I know there was some concern going into Houston about some of the laws and the views on certain aspects of human rights, and having Joe kind of talk about being a queer person in Texas and what that means to her and what it looks like to her. I thought that was beautiful and interesting. Not that I obviously think that places should be assholes to gay people, but you know, just hearing Joe's stories and hearing everyone else, and just it's been really gorgeous. Just a really gorgeous season, and I'm thrilled to kind of keep going in that direction.
Agreed. And I was also thinking, like, this was such a lovely cast. We've now had like several consecutive seasons of not that Top Chef tends to cast, you know, boring folks. But it's like we've had some like stellar cast the last couple of seasons.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know It Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Are you watching the current season of Drag Race All Stars?
Like, not super well, but I have.
But you know the structure that nobody goes home.
Yes. Oh, that interesting.
That would be an interesting way to run Top Chef. And for those that aren't familiar, there are 8 contestants, I believe, on the latest round of Drag Race All Stars. But instead of it being an elimination week to week, there is 2 basically points up for grabs every week. There's a top 2 and they grab points. And then I believe at the end, like, the top 4 point getters will be battling it out for the title. And it'd be kind of interesting to do the same thing with Top Chef, I think. Is like, let's it would have been great to have like our 8 favorite people from the season just be here the whole season mm-hmm. and cook every week. It's just that every week like there's a different kind of top 2 or top 1 or top 3 or however they want to structure it. And it's a point-based system to see who competes in the finale. I don't know. That could be fun.
That is a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I wonder if, like Drag Race, if it's better suited for an All-Stars version. But I think it would be interesting for sure.
I think it would be, because you'd have to put a lot of faith into them having gotten the casting right. Yeah. At least now they have like some like evidence to go off of, like who kind of the fan favorites are. Mm-hmm. Did you? By the way, I completely missed who won the Top Chef fan favorite.
Oh, I don't know. They never like air that in Canada because we can't vote for it. Let's take a look. Let's do a quick Google. I always forget about it. Top Chef fan favorite. Let's see. Tune in to watch What Happens Live on Sunday the 5th. Let's see here. We're sorry, voting's not available in your location. Yeah, I know.
I think I know that. Who is the fan favorite prize? Come on, just it was. It came down to Damar Nevelin. God, I hate this article with a fiery passion of a thousand suns. Just tell me. During the Damar won fan favorite.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
So does Latanya get the points for that?
Yeah, sure. She gets some points. She gets the consolation prize.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
So, Kurt, what have you been eating this week?
Oh, so other than the Canadian maple syrup soda, I found a soul food kitchen near me called 40 Acres. And I got some, I overdid it, and I got some gumbo with andouille sausage, which was my soup comment from earlier. I mean, those, it's soup adjacent.
soup adjacent, yeah.
Yeah. So good, so filling, that I did not need the two sides that I got with it, which were mac and cheese and sweet potato. I also especially did not need the flight of grits.
I love the idea of a flight of grits. Like, I love, give me a flight of anything. Actually, you know what? There's a restaurant in Niagara that does a flight of coffee now, but they're like full size. Like, I would have no stomach left. I would have no stomach and like probably have a heart attack.
There's a place here in Grand Rapids that's a flight of pizzas. I know, they think there's a place locally that does a flight of bagels. So there were the house grits, which were shrimp and spicy smoked tomato puree. There were the northern grits, which are shrimp, sweet savory glaze, whole grain mustard, and white wine. And then there were the southern grits, which were shrimp, cream, Asiago, Parmesan, bacon pancetta, and peppers. They didn't come labeled, so I don't know which one I like the best. You'd think I'd be able to say, oh, this is the one that had the bacon. I wasn't certain. I think I know which one had the tomato puree. That one was not my favorite. I think the northern one with the sweet savory glaze, the white wine. But yeah, it was like any one of those grits is $15. The flight was $15. So I can't imagine. I know how big those flight containers were. So I can't imagine. It was just like what a heaping mess of northern grits I would have gotten had I ordered that way. And then they also had these... basically, it was peach cobbler, like an egg roll wonton wrapper.
Oh,
so it was like a crunchy wonton, but filled with peach cobbler and a caramel dipping sauce.
That's cool.
For those who are not the $1 million patrons in the video, you didn't get to see me do the dipping hand motion.
We'd be banned from some countries.
I swear that was dipping. But I got something else at the same time, and I was like, I got all of that, and then I had something else on top of that as well. And I can't remember what it was. Which makes me think I'm having some sort of food induced amnesia. But
because you ate so much of it that you're just like it.
Yeah. No, actually I ended up having to have the sweet potato, and the two of the three sets of grits for lunch today.
Nice.
Cause I couldn't finish everything yesterday. And it's been a Blue Apron week. I've not done Blue Apron in like 5, 6, 7 years. I can't remember. It's been a lot of HelloFresh and Marley Spoon. Made a couple good chicken dishes. Made a good kind of spicy beef pasta dish tonight. It's been a lot of food. It's been a lot of food.
Yeah, I had a big food week too. Like I told you before we started recording, but this is probably like one of my bigger social commitment weeks in a very long time. And because of that, we didn't do much cooking. Like, we just ended up having like no groceries in the house. We're like, well, there's no point in going to do groceries because like we're not going to be home. So last week, Ethan had a golf tournament at one of the fancy golf clubs in the region. And like hopefully nobody from his work is listening. Hopefully nobody from the golf tournament is listening. But, a couple of the guys in his group couldn't make it for the dinner and they had already paid for the seat. So Ethan was like, do you want to come for the dinner? I'm like, heck yes. So I like cosplayed as a golfer and went to the dinner. And they had like ribs and cornbread and like the most beautiful whipped butter I've ever seen. Like, oh God, I love a whipped butter. I just like slathered the cornbread in it and called it a day. And I went to a concert this week, a concert for the first time in many years. And I had a poutine there and it was pretty tasty. And I got a poutine and I got a peach cider, and the peach cider was more expensive than the poutine. Can you believe that? 16 hard earned Canadian dollars for the cider.
Was it a big gulp?
It was like a tall boy, but it's still like, yeah. I could buy that thing for like $3.25 in my local LCBO.
How refreshing was it?
It was beautiful. It was great. It was refreshing at the beginning, but then because it's so expensive, I nursed that bad boy for at least 3 hours.
Was it an outdoor concert?
Was it a what?
Outdoor or indoor concert?
Outdoor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, I actively turned down poutine this week. There's a restaurant near me has the basically like loaded poutine, waffle fries. And I was like, nope. I'm just going to get the sandwich. I'm not going to get a side. I'm going to have my eye on you, waffle fry poutine. But I just got the sandwich and then had a salad with it at home. So I behaved. It was a choice for the good.
Yeah, that was not the only pulled pork poutine I had this week. And then what else did I do this weekend? Friday. Okay, so there's this new taco truck in the town next to mine. And I've driven... It's like on my way to my parents, and I've driven past it a few times. On Friday night, Ethan like wasn't getting home until later, and I wasn't getting home until later, and like neither of us were super hungry. So he grabbed a salad at the grocery store, and I on the way home was like, oh, I'll just grab a couple tacos. We each have two each or whatever, and it'll be delicious. We've been dying to try this taco truck, and they were fantastic. One chicken, one pork, and one chorizo, and they're all pretty tasty. It's usually like $3 for $12. So next time I would like cut out the chicken. Like chicken tacos are never like my absolute go-to. But I just wanted to try all of them. The fish was great. It was just like a crispy little piece of fish. I loved it. And then this weekend I went to an event, one that I used to work for many, many years. And my former boss was like, hey, why don't like I give you tickets to the event so you can actually like go to it for once. And it's like a food and wine event. So I had some great food bites and some great wine drinks. One of my favorite things was like shrimp nachos. It was really great. Ooh. Yeah. And there's like a really delicious pork sandwich with a spicy sauce on it, and just everything was delicious. And I got to drink lots of rosé, which is perfect for summer. And then I had another pulled pork poutine that was fantastic from the local fry truck.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. So now I...
No, literally, bless your... Yeah, I'm blessing your heart.
I need so many vegetables this week. Usually I try... And like, honestly, I have to keep very balanced in all aspects of my life, or else I get completely thrown off. So that's sleeping, eating, exercise, everything. And because this week has been so weird and hectic, like I am still like facing the consequences of not going to bed until 1 o'clock on Thursday night. And then like also not eating a vegetable all weekend, and also like not being able to make it to the gym this week. So I am just like thrown off. So I'm going to be spending the next week trying to restore balance in my life. I'm a Libra. I need it. I just need it.
I consume vegetables like I'm a Sim, because it's like I wait until the little meter gets red and I'm like, okay, I'll have a salad.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
And it's like, I put it off. Red, angry salad meter alarm. Have some veggies. It's like, I don't incorporate it regularly as I should. Like I could have easily like just I got some like bagged salads in my fridge.
I'd be fine if I never ate a vegetable for the rest of my life. Like I could forget about vegetables, but I know I feel better when I eat better. And so like tonight we had like a lovely steak salad and it was great. And you know, for lunches I always try and have like carrots or cucumbers in the fridge to kind of have with the sandwich or whatever. So hopefully this week I can kind of get back on course a little bit. Like I can feel myself like getting wheezy. It's just and I'm like, do I have COVID? It's like, no, Haley, you have slept like shit and haven't eaten a single vegetable all week.
Oh, I gotta do more vegetables. I already have plans. I'm gonna have some crispy Brussels sprouts for dinner tomorrow. I know where nice. I'm going. I know where I'm going for dinner. I know what I'm gonna get.
And is it Red Lobster? Because crispy Brussels sprouts are a side there.
No, it's a local restaurant I've never been to called the Butcher's Union. Ooh. And I'm getting a banh mi sandwich and crispy Brussels sprouts.
See, that's how I know we're friends, is that before going to restaurants, we just already, like, they hand you the menu and you go,
how are you?
Good, thank you.
I go back and sometimes I'm like, if I know we're already going to a restaurant, like if somebody says, okay, you're going to visit, we're going to go here, then I will, like, there will be times where I'll be like, the reveal of the menu is like getting a gift on Christmas. It's like, here's all the things you can choose from. And sometimes I like it like it to happen at the restaurant.
Sure.
But sometimes if I'm like for myself, I will plan out my meals, like, especially when you have a Blue Apron with, you got six servings of three meals. I'm like, okay, I made the dinner tonight. I'm going to the office tomorrow, so that's not going to be my lunch. I want to do that one thing for dinner, so I'll have the second serving on Wednesday. So it's a whole like Jenga / Tetris thing of foodstuffs.
Absolutely. I know we've been trying to, like, meal plan a bit. Like, we have this, like, I don't know, you can get on the internet of like, what are you eating this week? And it just makes our grocery shopping a lot easier too. And being able to be like, I love eating lunch. I hate thinking about what to have for lunch. So I like to have that plan of like, here you are, here is lunch. This is what you eat.
That's like going into every weekend and be like, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to want to eat right after the gym. But if I get done with the gym at 10:30, the places that I want to eat don't open till noon. So maybe I need to like push a little bit, or I could go grocery shopping, but then I could stop here on the way back. It's a whole planning exercise for a weekend.
Yeah. And some weeks work better than others for the planning.
And then for like Saturday and Sunday, my lunch was just like so big, I didn't eat dinner. Like, I literally was like, I'm just going to keep drinking water because it's too late to eat.
Well, Saturday we did the event, and then I was like, I got really full by like 4 p.m. There was seven different wineries involved, and I planned to get the food at each of the wineries, but we were so full, we just could not do it. And then by the time we got home, I was like hungry enough, but not so hungry. So Ethan got a Big Mac, and I got a Tom Yum soup from the local Thai place, and it was unbelievable. Man, I just love eating soup. Like, I just love eating soup.
I need to do more soup. I need to do more of my slow cooker, make some soups, but probably not till the fall. Let me do more veggies and fruit soup during the summer.
Yeah.
I could do like a chilled soup. Does chilled soup count, or is that just juice?
Oh, absolutely. I think it does. Or like, even, you know, kind of like, aren't peas in season soon? Like, make a peas, like a spring pea soup. Or
what's the difference between a chilled watermelon soup and watermelon juice?
I think you add like a cream component to the soup.
Then doesn't that just make it a watermelon smoothie?
What a great question. I think you would put more herbs into the soup.
I'm just curious because I've got like a bunch of, I've been juicing. When I went to the store this weekend, I got lime juice, well, like limeade.
Oh, okay.
And watermelon juice and guava juice. And I don't have any rum, which is the surprising part in all of this. I've just been like, I've been just concocting. I've been doing like juice alchemy, or like a little bit of orange juice, a little bit of lime juice, a little bit of watermelon juice, and throw in an Airborne, because actually I've been kind of sick last week. So I'm just like drinking juice, thinking that that's going to keep me healthy.
I love the placebo effect I get from my little vitamin C tablets.
Yeah. So it's like, I take a large mug of pulpy orange juice. If I'm feeling jaunty, I will throw some lime juice or other juices in there, but it's like 90% orange juice. And then I'll throw in a berry Airborne, which actually, which is like a nice berry flavor to it. But at the same time, you get that placebo effect of this is healthy. Yeah.
I'm healthy now. I have never once in 5 million years thought about putting one of those tabs in anything but water.
Really? Yeah. I don't think I've ever put it in water.
Really? I always try to get ones that I like the flavor of. I have one that's like a pina colada flavor, and it's delicious.
I look at it as a mixer. I'll throw the Barry Airborne. I got some vodka. I can throw the Barry Airborne into some vodka, see how that turns out. But
yeah.
It might be bad.
It probably will be bad. One of my favorite mocktails we would always make for like a punch at work, when I used to serve like banquets, was just orange juice, cranberry juice, and Sprite in equal parts. Oh, it's so delicious. It's delicious. I like to make it all the time.
Nice.
It's kind of like a Shirley Temple, I guess, you know.
A little bit of grenadine.
Yeah. Well, that's it for another season, eh, Kurt? Look at that.
Look at
that.
The
whole season went by.
So next will be 20. 20 will be, maybe that's why, you know, 20, it's just a number. Thank you, Jeff Probst. It's just a number. But it seems like it's a big number for Top Chefs. So I would not be surprised if we end up doing something special.
And I wonder, that's why we're going to do like a Euro trip or something. Yeah. Yeah. Can't believe it. Gosh, and I am going to have a podcasting hiatus for the first time in 3 years, 4 years even.
How long is it?
Until July 11th. I have a month. I mean, I think we have plans to come back sometime and do like a Top Chef retrospective, maybe.
We've been in talks. Especially, do we know that LaTanya really wanted to be here today, but she wasn't able to. So at the very least, we could have, we'll have one last wrap up of some sort. It could be talking about Top Chef, seeing if we have any special guests that can join. It could be a small revival of a food specific topic like we did a couple of years back in the dawn of COVID, where it was Top Chef. What was it? After Top Chef or Top
what
Chef?
What did we call that? Like food
Beyond
talk?
Top Chef.
Beyond Top Chef, yeah.
It was like Beyond Beef, but a podcast.
Yeah.
We'll do something to at least see things off properly with our good friend LaTanya.
Yeah. This was fun. Another great season.
Good time.
Yeah. Kurt, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Kurt Clark with two C's at the start of each of those words in all of your major and minor social media platforms. If you're interested specifically in food, I would recommend following me on Instagram at Kurt Clark. If you're interested in what I'm drinking, follow me on Untappd at Kurt Clark. I think the drinks also appear on Instagram. So
they do sometimes. Yeah. I always double tap them.
How about you, Haley Strong?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. If you want to check out what I'm reading, you can check out my bookstagram at The Strong Library. And that's it. That's it for another season. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always such a thrill when people message us saying that they have enjoyed this podcast and they love listening to us. And we love you. So take that. Enjoy. All right. Pack your knives and go. Bye. Love you. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.